You're listening to SBS News.
Stood up in amazement and wonder. It was, we've never been attacked by a landing force before from the air. And then after that, the moment they started firing at us, well, I didn't have to tell our troops to fire back because they did it automatically. If they're going to shoot at us, we'll shoot at them.
It's 1941. Alf Carpenter, now 104, was a young regimental sergeant major of the 2nd 4th Australian Infantry Battalion on the Greek island of Crete. German paratroopers had just invaded the island, or attempted to. They met fierce resistance from Australian, New Zealand and British troops attempting to stop Adolf Hitler's regime from taking over yet another part of Europe.
So we were used to fighting soldiers on the ground level, but when they come in an air level, it was a different kettle of fish altogether because they dropped right on top of our positions. There was about 1,000 come out of every troop carrier that comes along. There wasn't too many of those German army alive without having some lead in them from the Australian troops.
Australian and New Zealand troops were already in mainland Greece, who, along with British troops, were there to protect Greece from German invasion. But they were vastly outnumbered by the German troops, and despite some very fierce local fighting, defeat and withdrawal from the mainland was inevitable. The next stop for the 26,000 Allied troops was Crete, arriving in April 1941. Alf is probably the last surviving Anzac from that battle. Now living in a nursing home in Newcastle in New South Wales, Alf says he witnessed Crete's largest city, Heraklion, completely destroyed by the Germans.
Well, I've seen the whole of the city of Heraklion destroyed in one day of incessant bombing. Their bombers, their Stuka bombers come in and they bombed the township because the residents were assisting us and not assisting the German paratroopers. So they ruined the whole of the city of Heraklion.
Along with British troops, around 6,500 Australians were sent to Crete. 270 died. Countless others were injured. Around 7,500 New Zealand troops also fought.
These are the first pictures received in London in connection with the action in Crete, on board one of our aircraft carriers engaged in attacking German air bases in Greece. It isn't to be expected that any of us can view these scenes with much enthusiasm. We can only say that as far as the men were concerned, they performed their supremely difficult task with skill and courage. For them, no praise can be too high. But they're by no means downhearted.
Private J.R. Greaves was one of the Anzacs caught by the Germans, ending up in a prisoner of war camp. His experience was published in 1941 by the Australian Women's Weekly in a column aptly titled Letters from Our Boys.
68 days a prisoner of war. I was captured in Greece, April the 19th. It was a life of humility and unbelievable hell. 10 men to a loaf of bread a day, with a bit of lentil soup for dinner and tea.
The Australians inflicted heavy losses on the German paratroopers. Peter Monteith is a professor of history at Flinders University in Adelaide. He says while it wasn't the first time German paratroopers had been used in war, the numbers that attempted to land in Crete were on a scale never before seen. But he says the German paratrooper attack didn't go to plan.
They got a rude surprise because Crete was better defended than they expected. The German intelligence wasn't all that good. The Allied intelligence, on the other hand, was very good, so that the defenders knew how the Germans were going to attack, and they knew pretty much when they were going to attack. And they had concealed themselves quite well, so that when they staged their attack on the very early morning of May 20, to their surprise, all of those airfields were quite well defended, and many of those German parachutists were dead before they hit the ground because the Allies were waiting for them.
Within the New Zealand contingent was a battalion known as the 28th Maori Battalion. It also fought in campaigns in Italy and North Africa at a time when Maori in New Zealand had minimal rights compared to their non-Maori counterparts. But they had a formidable reputation, becoming one of New Zealand's most decorated battalions.
In the Second World War, the decision was made again to have a Maori battalion. This was the 28th Maori Battalion. It had Maori officers, and they fought as an independent battalion. And by and large, where they fought alongside Australians, they fought very well. The Maori gained a reputation for themselves as being quite ruthless soldiers, and the Australians found that they could work very well together with those New Zealand forces, including the Maori.
Maori soldier Ned Nathan was one of those who found himself in Crete. Badly injured not once but twice, Mr. Nathan was forced to hide from the Nazis, and like thousands of other Allied soldiers, he was sheltered by a secret network of local Greeks. It was a common yet risky practice for the Cretans. Hiding Allied soldiers could lead to execution, whole families and villages killed if caught by the Germans. It was after being injured in the hip and face by machine gun fire that Ned found his way to the village of Sklaropula. Ned not only found a secret refuge with the family of local priest Alexandros Torakis, he also found love with the priest's daughter, Katina.
Dad spent the next sort of year going from village to village, cave to cave, and occasionally spending time at Mum's village until the winter of 1941. And because Mum's village was above the snow line, okay, snowed in, the Germans weren't that keen on having patrols in the middle of winter and going, so they were relatively safe. And so Dad and another New Zealander who was also a fugitive were sheltered by Mum's family. At one point he says, I've seen the girl I want to marry.
That's the couple's youngest son, Evan, who knows the story well. Luckily for his father, the feeling was mutual. Katina Torakis, a teacher, spent the winter months helping Ned learn Greek. But Greece back then was a society steeped in traditions, thousands of years old, where the daughter of a priest would have been expected to marry a local. War did get in the way of the growing romance after Ned Nathan was eventually captured by the Germans. Like thousands of Anzacs, he ended up in a German prisoner of war camp in 1942. But before his internment, he did manage to sneak a note to Katina.
Dad was quite convinced, so he left Mum a note and says, look, I'll come back after the war. So they ended up in prison of war, and that was after, a month or so in Crete and Greece before getting sent off to Germany. So he was there until 1944, and he managed to get onto a Greek boat that was heading back to Crete. So he hitched a ride and ended up in Crete and went back to the village, not knowing whether Mum was going to be waiting for him or what, anything, just went there on spec. And yeah, the rest is history.
And that history involves the couple getting married in 1945 in a church in Katina's home village before moving to New Zealand together. The couple had three sons and remained together until Ned's death. Evan Nathan says the connection with Crete remains strong for him, as it does for Nick Andriotakis, who was born in Crete but was raised in Australia. For Mr. Andriotakis, stories of the battle were part of his childhood.
My father was born in 1933 at the age of about 10. He used to take food, milk, food, cheese, he called him the Inglese, the Englishman. Now, he could have been an Englishman, but he could have been an Anzac. We can't go to that level of detail because he was hiding in a cave above our village, and my father, as a young kid, took food to him. Now, taking food and supporting Anzacs or Commonwealth soldiers on Crete was a death sentence.
Nick Andriotakis is now the Secretary of the Joint Committee for the Commemoration of the Battle of Crete and the Greek Campaign. The committee was formed more than 40 years ago by Greek migrants from Crete and surviving Anzacs. He says the committee has many stories about Greek families sheltering Anzac troops, including another digger, Captain Reginald Saunders. Reginald Saunders was the first Aboriginal Australian to be commissioned as an officer in the Australian Army. With the help of a Greek family, he managed to evade German capture after being hidden for 12 months by the family.
The Greeks in Reginald Saunders, the Cretan family, the Tsagarakis family, saw him as a brother, as a fellow human being. They didn't see him as an Indigenous Australian. I'm not saying that all Cretans were perfect people. There were traitors that sided with the Nazis. However, the significance of the Greek people in Crete in supporting Anzacs and Commonwealth soldiers that were trapped behind enemy lines once Greece was overtaken by the Nazis. In the particular case of the Saunders family, they supported Captain Reginald Saunders. They fed him, they clothed him, they did whatever they could. And there are stories all over Greece like that.
Much has been written about the reasons humanity goes to war, with no easy answers to explain this complex and brutal aspect of the human experience. What is clear is that the experience of war affects people in different ways. For Alf Carpenter, he got on with his life after getting married, raising a family, and eventually leaving the army to take on different kinds of work.
I don't think it changed me anymore because I was used to competition and running marathons and things like that, and having rank in the militia as a sergeant. Well, I was used to war, but I wasn't used to shooting at people.
A number of years ago, Alf had a stroke and now lives full time in a nursing home. He says the stroke was one of many near-death experiences he's had in his life.
I passed away for about 15 minutes. And they had the undertakers up to see what size coffin I need, and I started to come good again. So I said, I must have thought, well, it wasn't time to go yet. And here I am here now in Maroba Rest Home. I've got a lovely unit here of my own, and I'm here until I'm carried out feet first, love.
Peggy Giacomelos, SBS News.